Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in detail.
The land down under has never been easier to reach. United Airlines has more flights between the U.S. and Australia than any other U.S. airline, so you can fly nonstop to destinations like Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane. Explore dazzling cities, savor the very best of Aussie cuisine, and get up close and personal with the wildlife. Who doesn't want to hold a koala? Go to united.com/Australia to book your adventure.
So this is at some point in when we're all working for Vox. I truly do not remember when. I'm pretty sure he was headed to
like 16, 17.
You can tell me any.
I wasn't back yet.
So because it was in the fun era. So it was around 2015, 2016.
Yeah, I was not back in the fold yet. I was at MTV because I was in New York when this happened, but not there.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was. I'm feeling like it was springtime, summerish.
Because I was getting a play-by-play from either Floyd or John Boyce while they were tracking him like an animal.
So Spencer is supposed to get to, I'm pretty sure it's LaGuardia. At the time, LaGuardia was under construction, and so was, I forget,
Fox wasn't playing for us to fly out of JFK.
Yeah, probably not. I don't think he would have done better there, to be clear.
No, fair enough.
But there was an issue at the time where traffic getting into the airport to drop people off was getting way backed up, and people were like waiting an hour just like within sight of the airport to pull in and get out and, you know, go get a ticket and go get their boarding pass and whatever. Spencer is not the only person who did this that spring or summer, whenever it was. Like, I remember there was news coverage of like, here are people walking on the shoulder of the highway to get to the airport. But because
pioneers.
But those people also, I think, were, you know, there with 90 minutes to spare. So they could walk. They didn't like it, but they could walk from the highway to the airport. Because Spencer plays every airport travel to squeeze the margins as tight as possible to extract the profit of time from Delta and American, he had to sprint. He had to sprint alongside, like Dr. Richard Kimball, I think is what it sounds like.
Probably. One of many things they have in common.
But he made his flight.
When he was posting how far he had to go, because of course it's Spencer, he's posting as he goes. He's photo chronicling his own adventure.
Unlike Dr. Richard Kimball.
He's posting photos of how far he has to go to get to the airport, how many cars he has to run past.
Yeah.
And it's sort of a like, oh boy, I don't know. Because not only is it far, and do we have all these previous airport mishaps to think back upon, it was very much a sense of like, oh, he's not going to make it. Next thing you know, he posts that he made it. And it was like the celebration breaks out.
He always
out.
Makes it. That's the fucked up part.
Not always, but...
Not always.
I mean, eventually. He doesn't always make these...
He doesn't always make
the scheduled flight, but he will always make it.
His hit rate on I got on the flight that the original ticket was for is pretty fucking good.
Yeah. No, it's like, it's a God's own fool type scenario.
Yeah.
And the ones that he misses hard.
Sure. Like I feel like we've talked about, he's missed one sitting at the gate, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This is not him running up to the gate and right as the doors are shutting.
Right.
This is he sitting at the airport bar next to the gate and just is watching television and forgets. And he's not drunk. Forgets.
This is always my favorite because he was talking to Ryan Van Bibber, who, to be fair, is sneakily one of the most fascinating people you'll ever encounter because he's had every job. Like, it was a game that we would often play with RVB. It was whereabouts, who could say, but like, it was a game that we'd play whenever we'd hire a new person. We'd say like, hey, go ask RVB about one of his jobs. And the young people would never get the same job twice. They would then compare notes. They would then compare legends. I remember sitting at a bar, one night with a whole bunch of, you know, like 20 whatever year olds, and they're all like, no, he told me he used to do this. No, he told me he used to do this. And they're all right. So sitting next to RVB is a valid, it's sitting next to RVB is a valid excuse for any sort of anything slipping your mind.
There are also the flights that he makes that just, like, he makes the flight, but he leaves the suitcase in his car. Like, he gets out of the car, mm-hmm. just walks onto the plane without mm-hmm. luggage.
Mm-hmm.
My personal favorite was when he mistook a 6 p.m. flight for a 6 a.m. flight, showed up at the airport in plenty of time for the 6 a.m. flight, went back home, and then missed the 6 p.m. flight for completely unrelated reasons.
This is a man built for trains, I think, is basically the conclusion here. Because trains...
You think he can't miss a train?
I'm sure he can miss a train, but at least
he can't run alongside it with those little legs.
Trains are... he did it on the highway. He showed LaGuardia who was boss.
Is it more meant for like pre-industrialized travel when it's like, we're leaving on July 19th? Is there a time? No, because we're leaving that day.
You're saying just get there that day. Done better on the Oregon Trail?
Just arrive, like, we're leaving 5 weeks hence.
Spencer rolling
be there in anywhere in that span.
Missouri. Sup, sluts.
Yeah, maybe really organized airplane travel would have worked too, where you just like walk up and be like, here's $80 and I've got cigarettes. And they're like, all right, welcome aboard.
Or like really, really vague, really ancient math. We're leaving in 40 years.
Yes.
That's Ryan, plenty of time.
Yeah. But Ryan is right. Like most of the time, you almost never hear about the flights that he makes. And it is always him and Jane Costin and Felder are this unholy triumvirate of walking into the airport, like walking onto the airplane as the doors are closing on their very heels.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a skill set that I not only don't have, but that traveling with any of them would make me incredibly nervous.
Well,
just being around them.
It is a weird testament, at least to Spencer. I won't speak to Jane and Felder because this isn't their show, and I don't think they should be slandered on it. Spencer can
get
slandered.
It's not slander. No, that's the thing. They're proud of this shit.
Right, right. That's the thing. Like, I have missed a flight. I missed a flight before, I don't know, like 15 years ago. Mm. And it was like it made me so angry and frustrated and was such a pain in the ass that I was like, never again. But no amount of airport misadventure will change Spencer's activities, preparation, mindset whatsoever. He is so committed to the game. Like, it's honestly kind of impressive.
Yeah.
Like, they could, the FAA could change the rules tomorrow. They could say, like, you have to be at the airport 24 hours ahead of time, or we will not let you even in the building. And Spencer would still show up at 45 minutes before his flight and be like, I'll just talk to somebody. And it would probably work.
He does have one incredible tool that works really well,
mm-hmm.
which is that he will walk up to the Delta help desk, the Southwest attendant, whatever, and go, hey, I did something really stupid.
Yeah.
Like he will lay himself at their feet and he will lead with, I'm an idiot. And I mean, in those words, he will lead with, hey, I'm a moron. Can you help me? I mean, verbatim, I'm quoting directly. And that disarms a lot of people because they're trying to hold back their own thoughts of, God, this fucking idiot. And he go ahead and gets that out of the way.
It changes the conversation from, oh, here's a difficult person I have to deal with, to how could this lovable dog know any better?
Well, right. And it's also, it changes it from, I need you to fix this for me, to...
You
here's
could be a
puzzle.
Hero.
Wouldn't you like to solve it?
You want to be a hero? To this scruffy dog?
Grandpa Airport, I can't tie my shoes. Can you help me?
Only you are smart enough to get me out of this.
My tummy hurts.
Welcome to the point and click adventure that is Spencer flying.
The chosen one will get me on this flight. Is that one you?
Are you a bad enough dude to put me on?
Are you a bad enough dude to unfuck my schedule?
We gotta try.
I will say, for a long time was a fuck it, just show up at the airport person. And you know, I've mentioned my airport mishap on this show many times over the past decade plus. I ended up in jail, so like that changed me. I'm not saying I wish that upon Spencer. Certainly not. I'm just saying, it is possible there are events and circumstances and situations that could alter the preparation just a bit, because now I've gone from a fuck it, just show up person to a we're getting there 4 hours early and we're going through everything before we're gonna, like, mm-hmm. I've be- I'm it's my most dad trait is airport prep. Not so much like planning, just arriving.
I just show up early because I want to relax. Like I don't understand the, anyway, I hate airports and flying, but the thought of being stressed in an airport is even worse. It's like, it's way easier for me to show up early and just like go chill in a corner somewhere.
I think being at the airport it's fine. It is. You know what I mean? Like, as long as you're not hurrying around, yeah. But like getting there early, like you're saying, Holly, and having time to chill, it is I think airports are underrated chilling spaces.
Jason has given me a good business idea, which if you run an airport, and I'm sure people who do listen to this show, to be clear,
You're in Atlanta. There's every chance somebody in here runs an airport.
I have a summer business proposition for you. Only on certain days. Let's call it Tuesday through Thursday. I'm not going to do this on the weekends. I'm not going to do this on Friday when things are busy. I should be allowed to come to the airport.
Ryan specifically.
Hold on. I should be allowed to come to the airport with my 7-year-old who is done with school and is bored as shit. And we should be allowed to go through security. Pay a certain amount. I understand we're there, but we should just be allowed to just chill in the airport pretty much all day.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Sure. Like, I don't have to worry about, like, you know, it's not the mall where it's like there's a million exits and, you know.
It's a mall with walls.
It's a mall.
You should have a better option than the hot cell phone lot.
Right. It's a secure mall. It has Wi-Fi, so I can actually, like, get some work done or whatever. There's snacks there. There's usually, most airports these days have like indoor playgrounds and like shit for kids to do. Like, and it's cool. It's climate controlled. And most of the time, you know, if it's just like Wednesday at noon, you're not using gate F15 or what. You don't need it. Like, let me come and just fucking chill. And then at 4 o'clock, we'll bail. We'll leave. It's fine. This is a great business idea with no problems.
You can keep charging the same exorbitant price for snacks.
Yes, 100%. Which means I won't buy any snacks because I'll buy very few.
I'll buy your $7 bag of banana chips. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
So, like, a popular talking point online is like, there are no third spaces anymore, right. As if there ever were. Well, there now. What now?
The
third space is the sky.
It's literally space. That's what you're saying.
We should note, as we get ready to do the welcome here, Spencer is out today.
Oh, he's right here. Say hi.
Hi.
Spencer, say welcome.
Say welcome. Buddy, bye.
There we go. Show's underway.
Now we can go straight to podcast business.
By the time the show comes out, Spencer will have maybe. That's the fun thing here. We don't know if we have another.
Right now, he's got 2.5 hours.
Yeah, we don't know if there's another boarding adventure soon to come.
International edition.
Listener, you'll have to find out as we do next week on the Shutdown Fullcast.
And he'll be back for next week's show, like barely. So we can catch his jet lagged edition.
Let's not assume that either, frankly.
Fair enough. Well, he's got Floyd with him, so I trust Floyd to get him back across the ocean.
Floyd's not, but they're not flying together, are they?
They might be. They're not flying. I do know that they're attempting to coordinate it so that they land in France at the same time, which I find hilarious.
Ah, rendezvous.
No, what's going to be while we're doing Channel 6 business.
That's God. French.
Well, the part that's going to be funny is this is the first of two international Channel 6 reporting trips this summer. The second one is going to Mongolia and involves Brian Phillips, or as I'm calling it, the double Marcus Brody. No, nobody.
Who's Marcus Brody?
Never mind.
It's
the clueless hat. Wait.
That movie
the clueless hat-waving guy in Indiana Jones who gets lost in his own museum.
Gotcha.
Well, the guy runs up to him with a sword and he goes, "No, thank you. I'm a vegetarian."
Is there another movie series where they took a character who... Because that Marcus Brody appears definitely in Raiders. I don't think he's in Temple of Doom. Where they took a character who was, like, normal and we're like, we're gonna make you a dipshit in the third. We've decided you play better if you are just a complete moron.
He's fun.
Because in so the like first
movie, they put a statue of him in Crystal Skull.
Yes, he has the he does indeed have like the opposite. And I guess they're both George Lucas properties, so maybe that's where he comes from.
They were both the key to all this.
They didn't have room for him in Temple of Doom because there was no way to use him to take out their feelings on their wives.
Mm.
And by them, I mean George Lucas and Steven Spielberg. Sure.
Yeah, those guys were in bad moods at that time.
No, they basically did. I probably can't locate it at the moment, but they basically went on a press tour after Temple of Doom and were like, sorry, we were getting divorced. Sorry. Yeah.
I read Lucas's biography a few weeks ago, and it's like, it was a miserable time, and they took it out on the world by writing that movie.
Hey, podcast business.
Serber, you're the
podcast business.
Serber, you're the ranking musician here. Are you able to?
Just
there we go. It's like the opening scene of.
I hope you don't
Contact.
Have a gun,
friends. If you're wondering what was the shutdown fullcast like to listen to 8 years ago, you're getting a little
as Spencer just walks through. I did used to record my part from the next room. Just
like 8 years ago was when Ryan was like, it's recorded. Does anyone want to edit it? Nope. 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 Ship it. Ships. Push publish. Does anyone remember anything we said? No.
Nobody ever give Michael Serber a single piece of shit. He is a miracle worker.
And I don't think anybody should ever give you a single piece angel. Of shit. You didn't sign up to edit this show.
Yeah, but I could have stopped at any
but
point.
But you did.
Too. I could have stopped. I didn't have to press publish on any of them. I was the monster in some ways.
Sometimes you were fighting to press publish. Sometimes it tried to not let you. Sometimes it's, folks, it is not
Sometimes
a joke
we
that there was
on the PAPN feed.
There we published on another podcast feed. We published a podcast on edsbs.com. Does that That's mean we put trick. The audio up? That's no, there was no audio.
Nope.
There was like 3 months where the fucking feed was like, sorry, we're full. Yeah. And
that's
Ryan was going and finding shit happens. To delete so we could post episodes.
Honestly, that
there's
should have been
one,
a sign of
There's
some
one
sort.
App that no longer exists, and I forget which one it is, that has all of the episodes on it. I think it might be Stitcher.
Like, do you know how weird it is in the age of limitless internet to have something say like, nope, no more of that. The computer said you can't do that anymore. That should have been a sign to me to just be like, well, I think the internet's over it. I think we're done.
Like, you're telling me there's room to add more stuff to Pornhub, but not our feed? Our feed is the one that needs to be cut off.
Sorry, guys. You're not as good as Pornhub, it turns out.
You've made your point, I think.
This is strange. That did birth the freeconferencecall.com era, though.
There's a lot of mistakes that have been made over the course of this podcast. What are we doing today, friends?
Podcast business.
That's right. All right. We're still in podcast
business.
Hey,
here's why Spencer's in France. You have to sign up for Channel 6 to find out. But he's going to Le Mans with Brian Floyd. We're going to have frequent travel diaries as often as we can get them through whatever constitutes the French internet. Sign up. The 3-year anniversary of the site is like 3 weeks away, and we're celebrating with a bunch of cool international shit this summer that's behind a paywall because we have bills to pay. Today is Tuesday. By the time you're hearing this, it'll be Wednesday. Spencer and Floyd will theoretically be in France. Thursday is when we're hoping to start dropping some francophone goodness on you. So, go sign up so we can keep not having bosses. We like that.
I am looking at the Wikipedia article for internet in France, but so far it seems pretty blah, pretty straightforward.
They have Le TGV. If the trains can go fast, why not the internet? Maybe they carry the internet on the trains.
Yeah.
Vanessa Redgrave had a lot of trouble, I remember, on the French internet.
In the first Mission Impossible?
This is why we're friends.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Also, happy anniversary, a day late.
Hey, thanks. Happy birthday, Speed.
Happy birthday, Speed. You're so beautiful at 30. You're so beautiful. The greatest movie ever made.
Podcast business for me. I have launched a new project with my buddy Martin Rickman. It's called Assigned. It's a Substack It's a Substack that is free to read, but you pay a little bit of money if you want to participate. What does participation mean? Every undisclosed amount of time units, mostly because it's going to be up to me and my whims, I will let the subscribers vote from a few choices of the topic I'm going to cover to give you an idea of what those topics might be. The three that the subscribers get to vote to right now are a series that where I look at the names of stadiums and trophies and bowl games and other non-human things to figure out where those names came from and why they are weird and whatever, to give you like a little hint there. UCLA's basketball arena is named after somebody who I believe was working with the CIA at one point.
Excellent.
UCIA.
Mm-hmm, correct.
Love it.
There's one called the Alternative Sports Almanac, which is exactly what you think it's going to be. Is this an excuse for me to talk about the basketball statistics from the 1995 film Forget Paris? Yes, it is.
Did we lay the groundwork for this at Banner Society with the Notre Dame game?
Yeah, that's probably right. Yeah. And then there's Pointless Advice, an advice column where I answer incredibly low-stakes reader questions as they get submitted. So if you want to have a say in which one I do, go to assign.substack.com and sign up. Or if you just want to read about it, you can do that too. And Martin and I will very much appreciate it.
I do like the caveat that the reader doesn't have to do any labor.
No.
But they probably should. They should probably pitch in.
You know, it's summer. Everybody's fucking tired. It's fine.
Do your part, folks, I think. let's see, personal business. I wrote a novel that is still really good. All the reviews, no one has deleted them. So allegedly it's still really, really good. Cerber and I are in the midst of assembling the audiobook. Yes. There will be some sort of bonus material available at Shutdown Full Books, either print and or audio, that edition, but the regular audiobook will be everywhere. And the goal is to have it out on, pretend I said a date right here. As far as...
Wow, that soon. Amazing.
Yeah, can you believe it? Be here before you know.
Based on what happened with the book, this is a reasonable thing to do.
Yeah, I could say pre-orders are now and it'll go out in 2037, and that means at any point. No one knows the hour. As far as show business, we have one non-sold out and previously announced show that is in Raleigh, North Carolina with, hey, speaking of Cerber, we're doing a podcast festival with Cerber & Co. The date of that is, again, pretend I said the right date.
It's in week zero.
It is right? Week zero. It is August 24th. Tickets yes. are on sale at etix.com. I mean, our live show info is at preowneairboats.com, of course. And also, we have another show to announce.
Ba-bum.
October
3rd. On purpose, because Spencer's not here. Sorry.
Birmingham, Alabama.
Surprise, Spencer. He's not listening.
Furnace Fest.
What? Presents
Shutdown Full Cast Live. Yeah.
This is the culmination of so many arcs.
We are probably going to do music disasters because this is a music festival. This is, for me personally, folks, this is like short of, oh gosh, I don't know, us doing like, you know, a launch of my book in Atlanta. If that were to happen, that would be like my number one all-time favorite live full cast. But short of that happening, this is like literally lifelong dream stuff for me personally. Like Emily and I have been going to this festival since we were broke-ass adolescents. And now we are going to be one of the, I don't know if we're the opener for the whole thing, but like for the weekend. But yeah, and it's going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one. We got Coheed and Cambria, August Burns Red, Under Oath. Those are some of the bands that are closing down the actual festival dates itself. But, yeah, those tickets are, again, we'll post the link, but ctickets.us looks like it's the site,
And to be clear, you don't need tickets to the fest itself to come to our thing. But of course, every year there's always a handful of full casters who are at the fest anyway. So if you're around to do both. But if you only got time to stop by our thing, that's cool too.
And yeah, it's football season, the time of year when you save your vacation days for anyway. So
also, you're going to be in Alabama. It's fine.
Also, it's road week for Bama. Bama's at Vandy. Auburn's on the road to lose anyway.
You heard what he said, folks. You heard what he said about
Vandy. I'm skating right by it. I'm not looking directly at it.
Bama's on the road at Vandy?
Nothing. Don't worry about it.
You heard it. Maybe you heard it that
nope.
Vandy's beating Bama.
Oh,
man. Is that what we're hinting?
I didn't hear anything.
Okay. Bama will not play Vandy.
That's true.
Bama's scared of Vandy. You've heard it here first.
Sober, any Killer Ants news? More songs? More sweet, sweet songs?
We'll put out songs. We'll put out more songs, sweet, sweet songs. We have a show in Winston-Salem at Reboot on June 29th. We also have a show in Greensboro, North Carolina at the Flatiron on July 6th. And Flatiron. Then we've got some more in August and September, but those are the next two. And then also, when is this coming out? Tomorrow. So like next week, next Saturday, the Winston-Salem Pride Festival downtown, you can come out and support and have a good time. And we're probably going to play that too. I only say probably because it's a community organized event and we signed up a long time ago to play and we played it last year and they said, yeah, we'll have you again. This is a community organized event. I hope to be there, but you should come support them no matter what.
I mean, you can be there no matter what, whether or not
I'm going to be there.
It's an entirely
don't know.
Different question.
I think you should be there.
But this is how this goes every year. So this everything is going according to plan for us to play. But I do want to just add the caveat that it's a community organized event.
That's fair. Is that all the business? Did we do it all?
I hope so.
And remember, tune in next week to find out.
What
the hell happened at the airport with Spencer?
Who's trying to go to France, his natural habitat.
Can we talk briefly about how fortunate it is that Spencer, and maybe this is why Spencer hates New York and D.C., and New York, D.C. specifically. It is absolutely essential that Spencer not live in a city that has two major airports. He would go to the wrong one almost every time.
I didn't think about that.
Like, if he lived in L.A., this would be a problem. New York and D.C. are great examples as well. But Atlanta, it's just the one. Like, it's just the one. And I don't think he appreciates.
It's really big.
Yes, and I don't think he appreciates how much that probably saves his ass.
He actually has left the building. He has vacated our office now, so.
Start the clock. Ladies and gentlemen, the hunt begins.
I mean, as a person who, has probably bought a plane ticket for the wrong day and will show up an hour late instead of early because of time zones and shit that's like other than go to place. Mm-hmm. If it's more complicated than that, yes, I'll put myself in that camp as well.
The other thing that would really fuck him up in New York, at least, I don't know if this is true in DC, because the transit authority that runs the airports is the same for JFK and LaGuardia, all the signage looks very similar, like the the coloring and the lettering and all that. So you can definitely like get into a scenario where you're like, wait a second, this feels right, but it's wrong. What's happened to me?
You can't
here?
Use like muscle memory.
None of my visual
to get to the
cues.
Right place.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I guess in conclusion, that's why Spencer hates New York and Washington, D.C. I know Houston has two airports as well.
So it's one reason.
It's definitely the reason.
Dallas has two airports. Big, you don't want to go there either. Man, all the...
He's a big, stupid airport baby who can't handle life, is what I'm saying.
God dang! If he ever listened to this podcast, he'd be really mad.
I've said far worse things on shows that he's been on. It's fine.
That's very true also.
Okay. Anyway, that concludes What's Wrong with Spencer for this week.
Jeez. I actually feel bad about this now.
Aw, it's fine. He doesn't want to live in those cities, so now he has like a plausible reason other than I hate all the people there and the way that they live.
Jesus Christ.
That's something he would say.
Happy anniversary, Speed.
A perfect movie. That has not aged in any way, shape, or form. Mm. And you know where Speed ends up? At the airport.
In the subway.
At the airport is what I was going to say. But yes, I guess you're right. I should have been more specific about the bus. Not
spoilers.
The movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's summer.
Major League Baseball's in full swing, and there's one app for you if you want last-minute deals on Major League Baseball games, and that's GameTime.co. That's right, GameTime.co. I'm looking at the app right now, and I'm picking out America's team, really, the Kansas City Royals. And at Kauffman Stadium, just in a couple days, there's tickets available for $16. And then, well, I don't want to up the stakes too much here, but let's go to next week. It looks like they're playing the Chicago White Sox. There are tickets available right now for $3. You could see a Major League Baseball game in Chicago for $3. What stadium, you ask? Not important. It's in Chicago. But GameTime.co is not just for Major League Baseball games, even though you can get great deals for that. You can also get great deals for concerts, football games. Those are going to be coming up pretty soon. You can find them on GameTime.co. I use GameTime.co to purchase last-minute tickets for an Olivia Rodrigo concert. Tyler Childers did not show up at mine. That would have been awesome, but it was awesome nonetheless. And GameTime.co made it super easy. I got my parking through GameTime.co, and I got great tickets for my wife and I. GameTime.co made all of that so easy, and one of the greatest concert experiences I've ever had in my entire life. And I'll be using them again. In fact, I'm seeing a little bit called The Beaches in late September. And where did I get my ticket? That's right, even ahead of time. I didn't wait till the last minute, because GameTime.co has you covered then as well. That's what I love about it. Whenever I want to get a ticket for an event, whether I heard about it months before and procrastinated to no end and have left myself in a lurch, you can save up to 60% off buying last minute for sports, concerts, comedy, theater, anything else. So take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with GameTime. You can download the GameTime app, create an account, and use code FULLCAST for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code FULLCAST for $20 off. Download GameTime today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Hey, we had a real life, every comic book is somebody's first comic book issue this week. Okay. Did you guys happen to pop into the Reddit?
No.
I took a spin through the Reddit this week, and apparently based on a single aside in the episode last week or week before, there's now a small contingent of people who think that we as a group have a vendetta against Deadpool. And
okay,
I listened to the segment in question, and it consists of Jason going, "Oh yeah, that was good because Deadpool wasn't in it," or something. And then we immediately all move on. And I guess because we immediately all moved on, because
no one roasted the defense of Deadpool.
This listener thinks that it is canon that Deadpool is our enemy. And I mean this in the kindest possible way. There's a real Ohio State energy to the question. Like, I don't know that this person is preparing to fight.
Are you just saying that because Deadpool dresses in Ohio State? How is there not an Ohio State? There has to be. I'm positive there's some Ohio State Deadpool Twitter account.
Oh, I mean, my God. That sounds like a forklift guy shirt in the making. Ohio Deadpool. And I drink things. I know things. I go Ohio State. And I like, you know, just like messing up all the quotes that people put on shirts. And it's not mom, it's bruh.
I don't all those shirts. Civics or basic math, and I vote.
Do you think they cross out the M's in mom when it's time?
Oh, shit. And then
that's why I'm not mom.
It just forms the block O.
That's why I'm not mom. That's why I'm bro. Okay. It's not about being a boy mom. It's about being an Ohio State fan.
None of these are qualities that I'm ascribing to the reader. He just sounded like he was prepared to rise up with fists in defense of Deadpool.
Oh. I can't get it out of my head. What's wrong with Deadpool?
I gotta tell you, buddy, I have no Deadpool opinions. None.
Deadpool also.
I have one.
Can't get out of his head. What is wrong with Deadpool?
What's your Deadpool opinion?
They should have made the Deadpool movie immediately after Blade 3,
Ryan Reynolds is in. Yeah.
Piggybacks on one of my more controversial takes, which is that Blade 3 is far and away the best Blade movie and one of the best comic book movies ever made. Do not at me. I'm not accepting divergent opinions on this at this time.
You have a lot of brave opinions, Holly.
I think this is objective fact.
You think it's an objective fact that Blade 3 is one of the best comic book movies?
Chris Christopherson's in it. Ryan Reynolds is excellent in it.
He's in all of them. Chris Christopherson is in all of them.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is.
Chris Christopherson, IMDb.
I am.
Are you sure?
I am confident that Chris Christopherson is in all three.
Am I for once?
I'm seeing let's see, known for Blade and Blade 2.
Am I, as I usually do, mixing up Kris Kristofferson with Jessica Biel?
That's probably what it is.
Can't tell them apart.
Justin Timberlake's rocky marriage with Kris Kristofferson once again. Why can't he just be good to Kris Kristofferson? We're all wondering.
Oh, man. I kind of wish that timeline had happened anyway, if only because Kris Kristofferson would have beaten the shit out of Justin Timberlake a long time ago. Why doesn't the full cast like Justin Timberlake?
That we could probably have a more fulsome discussion about than Deadpool.
Anyway, I just thought this was funny because it was literally a comic book that was someone's first. Because
we took a vote and we have come down against... Because like, here's the thing about this show. It moves so fucking fast that, like, you know, by design, by whatever, by like all these years of you know, it's built up its own pace. There's shit every single episode that it's like, I probably had more to say about that. It was 30 minutes ago. I'm not circling back to it. And that happens for all of us every week.
I remember you saying this. I don't remember feeling the need to engage with it in any form.
Sure, yeah. Like, I'm just saying, you know, in general, there's so much shit every single week.
Y'all,
that we
like,
could
weeks
expand
ago,
on,
I said but... that the Texas A&M's word for the name of God was Yeehaw, and no one said a fucking thing to me.
That's a good job.
I probably should have been struck dead out of a clear sky.
Nah, that's fine.
So, like... Yeah, I mean, I'll say as the the person who is
as the offender,
as the offender,
as the accuser here. When Deadpool is written at an A+ level, you have a great tragic comic character who is on one level insane, but on another completely correct. When Deadpool is written at anything but an A+ level, he goes from Bugs Bunny to Fozzie Bear. And just does not shut the fuck up. Like, Deadpool in universe annoys every other character. Great. You know what sucks is when he has that effect on every reader as well. Deadpool is probably the hardest comic character to write, and fewer people are qualified to write Deadpool than they think. The movies are fine. The movies are fine. By the way,
instead of asking any of us, this led to was for us a very lengthy Reddit discussion about why we might not like Deadpool. Instead of anyone just asking any of us.
Yeah, but
I love that they.
Do you want people asking you why you don't like Deadpool on the internet? Is that a thing
sure,
you would rather live with?
I would have been confused.
As the guilty party,
I would have been confused.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's...
As always, Deadpool should just be replaced with Gwynpool. Gwynpool's a better character.
I have one more Deadpool opinion, which is that the International Women's Day joke in the first movie was exquisite.
Gwynpool explains Deadpool the best. She says it's Gen X memes humor. There.
Holly, I think I should point out for listeners who don't know, in Blade 3, Jessica Biel plays Kris Kristofferson's daughter. I just didn't want us to not get that part out. It's very
important.
That's
why I mixed them up.
It's very important. Also, Triple H is in Blade 3 and, according to Wikipedia, plays a character named Jarko Grimwood.
Jarko.
That's it. This is also...
That's some Star Wars prequel shit.
This is also a movie that has Patton Oswalt and Natasha Lyonne in it. This is a nonsense movie.
Hey, did you guys know that there is a company now that makes candles that smell like theme park rides? Mm. Like, there is a candle that purports to smell like the forest in E.T. in Disney World Universal.
So smells inspired by theme park rides.
No, like, it's supposed to smell like, you know, like the fog machine and the pine trees and...
So the smell they're going for is the smell of sitting in a chair that has been sat in by 100 Floridians so far that day?
Yeah, but it's inside, so it's an inside ride.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
You know what? I don't think it's a coincidence that all these smells are the inside rides. There is a Pirates of the Caribbean candle. Sorry, Pirates of the Caribbean The Ride candle.
Yeah.
But this E.T. one is the one I'm most fascinated
How do
by.
I make a candle that smells like wet Umbros?
God, that sounds oppressive.
Oh, God, I didn't breathe at all. Oh.
How do I make a poncho smelling candle?
God,
how is it humid in here?
Could you strangle somebody with Umbros the way you could by like putting a grocery bag over their head? If they were wet?
Are you saying you're suffocating them or you're strangling them?
Suffocating. Sorry.
I suspect if the Umbros were big enough. The problem is you really got to like nail your entry point correct, you know?
You gotta, like if you get there through one leg?
I think you could, yeah.
You could use the drawstring to like wrap around.
This would be a very weird way to die. Be like, I'm suffocating to death in purple Umbros. Just as the fortune teller foretold. All those years
ago. That's right. This is the latest Final Destination.
This is the weirdest spawn con ever.
Soccer Final Destination.
Brought to you by Umbro.
Is Umbro still, are they still things? Umbro?
Sure.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
Kids still need soccer shorts.
Soccer that they
can get $4 shorts?
Dirty. Yeah. Umbro shorts. Oh, yeah. We're fucking crushing it over here. Plus, like, the way the world we're living in now, probably like 2 years from now, it'll be like, oh, Umbros are back. Umbros are huge.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. If those fucking ugly champion sweatshirts were popular, anything could be popular.
I'm gonna have a Snoopy tee with Woodstock on it,
mm-hmm.
and they're both like at the beach. I have my Umbros.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it'll be like, wow, fashion trendsetter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Instead of like
Holly Anderson stuns in.
Ooh, I just got a text for a political poll on my phone. Do you guys want to take it in real
Let's
time?
Let's take the poll. First of all, wait, who's it from?
This is totally a scam. Hey there, I am John from US Speaks. We're polling Georgia voters.
Hold on. US Speaks.
US Speaks.
Okay. First thing that comes up is a Reddit link. And a Facebook link that says beware.
I got that too.
And also, they talk shit about Deadpool.
Oh, man. Do you think it's a Deadpool-based poll?
Is Deadpool polling you? Deadpool.
Experts warn of election year scams. Oh, y'all want to do a scam?
Yeah, let's get fished.
Get scammed. Okay.
Hell yes.
All right.
Wait, this story doesn't actually say that they're going to that this is a scam.
It's important for local news to be like danger ahead of everything.
Yeah, this doesn't actually say that this is a scam.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, this person is totally trying to steal my identity.
This person who's texting you?
John?
So they
from
you
US
can end
Speaks?
The survey at any time by replying in survey. Before we start, I need to make sure I'm talking to the right person so the survey is accurate.
Okay. Yeah.
Can you confirm? Is this Holly Anderson? Should I say no?
You should say this is Esmeralda. Last name unknown. No. Nope, this is Chris Christopherson. Star maybe. Blade 1, 2, and 3.
maybe you pretend to be a different Holly Anderson. Mm.
The call is coming from Eastern Maryland, so it's clearly legit.
Mm-hmm. I don't think of Maryland. I mean, I guess Maryland has different regions like that, but the
Eastern
little
Maryland
states
at least has the water.
Yeah, I suppose.
Eastern Maryland's nothing but regions.
Western Maryland is basically Kentucky.
Okay. I don't know any of them. I'm just like looking at it. It's like
I'm sorry, but you do not qualify to participate in this survey.
Wow.
Fuck you, John.
Owned. Wow.
Oh, damn.
Chris Christopherson silenced again by US Speaks. Unacceptable. Can I bring up an uncomfortable question?
Oh, please.
So Twitter, the everything website where everything works great.
the X, the website formerly known as
yes, X parentheses. I don't know if y'all have noticed this. It's very obscure and it probably only happens to me. Is fucking crawling with porn bots. All the time.
But, like, not promising porn anymore. There's just birth canal.
Okay, so I want to go back to the original form of this, which was nudes in bio, butt in bio, boobs in bio.
But before that was Rosie, so we're focusing on nudes
okay,
in
there
bio.
Was yes, there was Rosie. There was
and Danny.
There was Rosie and Danny. Then there was, I want to talk about the nudes in bio thing specifically.
Okay.
It occurred to me at one point, I was like, wait, what does nudes in bio even mean? Like, that's a nonsensical statement for somebody to say.
This is such a Sex and the City lead-in, and I love the construction so much.
Like it implies there are pictures in the bio?
Correct. Or that maybe there's
got
something
me thinking,
mentally.
Why were these
right.
nudes in bio, and where were the dudes in the bio?
So, yeah. But inevitably, if you're like, well, what does that mean? And you look at one of these accounts, there is nothing in the biography. It is a promise that means nothing. It doesn't actually, I guess what I'm saying is like, obviously this is like some scam bot behavior,
But they're not even good
but
bots.
But where's the scam? I don't understand what the scam is. There's no point where they're trying to steal your identity. And until they got to just direct delivery of spread eagle pornography,
what is that doing?
As Holly pointed out, there wasn't even like actual pornography being. I'm just so confused as to like at what purpose did this serve for whoever came up with the shitload of porn bots that respond to everything with nudes and bio that there was no step two.
There's no nudes.
I don't understand what was.
I need less nudes in the bio and more nudes.
Like what was the plan supposed to be here? I'm so baffled.
So like there's somebody did an article for the Intelligencer where they actually followed all the way to try to find the nudes. And it's like this sprawling thing where you just have to keep fucking clicking or whatever.
Is this
and
like
eventually
when you click doctors hate him?
I don't know.
And you're trying to find the trick?
I haven't.
Okay.
I'm just saying it is a gigantic web of alleged nudes in bio that all funnel to it sounds like there are nudes at the end of the rainbow. But the thing that jumped out to me in this article was how few people appear to be running this thing that's just universal and rampant on the
makes a lot more sense. We're dealing with a small business that is broken contained.
Do you think it's just that they were like, I don't know, we'll try nudes in bio for 100 tweets, and they were like, got it, 100,000 tweets, fuck, shit, damn it, oh, we already paid for all of these.
It very like, as normal people, we look at this and we're like, okay, the hit rate on this has to be incredibly low. Yes, it's even lower than you think. Like, literally almost none of these work, but enough of them work for them to keep doing it. I think the funniest thing about pussy in bio is how it's like evolved on its own. Like, it reminds me of like the Matrix movies where it's like, we can't control the virus anymore.
Yes,
you know, like Agent Smith has taken on a mind of its own.
They have learned how to open doors.
Agent Smith in bio, like... Yeah, they evolve and new punctuation tricks.
Not
and,
what I wanted to see.
And it gets way more explicit over time.
They're doing like early versions of ASCII art and shit.
Yes.
And it's like, it is perversely a very effective branding tool because now like nudes in bio is a thing that like you can just say, but again, it's not branding anything. It doesn't point you to anything whatsoever.
What would be the funniest thing for it to turn out to have been branding this entire time?
Oh. A movie. Yeah. Like a movie called Nudes in Bio.
Oh God. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
And then you see it and there's no fucking nudes.
Straight to Amazon Prime.
Where J. Jonah Jameson wants some goddamn nudes.
I want nudes of Spider-Man.
I want pictures of Spider-Man's pussy. So, folks, welcome to our college football podcast. We're here to talk about the latest NIL developments.
I don't think of myself as a fucking prudish person. I just don't need to see cervix.
And look, like
unless you're in bio class.
I don't need this much cervix in my life. I've got my own.
It is very direct. Like, it is very not like.
It's also sexist. Where are the dicks?
Yeah, dicks in bio.
Where are the hanging brains in the bio?
Balls in bio. Let's get to the
comments.
Holly,
fellas, it's time to contribute.
Holly, you might be the first woman to work in sports media on the internet who's like, where are the unasked for dick photos?
Brett
Favre
retired and nobody stepped up.
Nobody filled the void.
The gray void.
The grizzled dick void.
The wrinkly, weird little void. Sack in bio. Nobody's clicking that.
Here's the episode title, The Grizzled Dick Void.
If you're going to send a dick pic, you want it to be cradled by Wrangler jeans.
Maybe he's got like a copper dick.
Jam it in my copper jammies.
A copper dick. He's in a copper bracelet and shit. Maybe he's holding
a copper.
A bracelet is just a big cock ring.
I suppose that's true.
That means...
In that it's a circle of metal.
I'm sorry to bring this here. It's just like, this is...
No, you're right, as usual.
Well, mostly it's just like, I can't talk to neighbors about... I can't talk to people.
I can't talk to my wife about this.
Like, not...
No, I don't even feel like I would be comfortable talking to Ryan's wife about this, and I've known her for 20 years.
Yeah,
so
Yeah. Because like then the question arises, like, wait, why do you keep going back to this app?
Why do you keep getting notes in bio? What are you doing?
And I really
why don't you just delete this app?
Don't have a good answer for why we're still on this app.
Well, you know, I've been wondering that for about 15 years now, so...
Isn't this all algorithm-based? No, that's not what's happening here.
So, like, yeah. Normal people are like, well, I use Instagram, and it shows me stuff based on stuff I've liked, so there's your problem. And it's like, no.
It's very different.
Total opposite. This app shows you things you hate.
No matter what.
This app only shows you things you've never clicked on.
This app actually hides the things you like and drives them away from you.
This app is designed to piss you off, so it tantalizes you. With dicks and bio, you'll never see.
So, back in the vein of every comic book is some
vein.
Sorry, Jesus Christ! Back in the big purpley vein of every comic book being
throbbing.
Can you imagine joining Twitter right now?
like as a brand?
People are forming companies. You know, getting into getting to their freshman year of college and getting their first computer or whatever, and people are joining this app every day, and that means every day somebody somewhere is joining this messaging app with zero knowledge, even in the zero entry shallow end, that it is totally fucking normal for the other millions of users on this app to, like, Ryan, this is why I'm glad you brought this up, because to new users of Twitter, there is zero warning everywhere because no one talks about it, that you are just going to be hit with vag matter what.
It is the equivalent of saying, what if you went to Stanford and your dormitory move-in day was day 5 of the prison experiment?
The sexy prison experiment. Except it's not. It's only talked about the
boobs
sexiness.
In room 203.
That's not what I thought.
What are you talking about?
That's empty. There is nary
a
boob.
There's not even a door.
I'm going crazy looking for room 203.
Roommates, we can monetize that.
What a cool business.
Like, imagine you start like a new like soccer league or whatever, and you're like, oh, we need visibility, let's get all our teams on there, and then every single one of, like, you hire like 10 people to run those accounts, and they're all just like, nothing happens.
Are people somewhere getting are new interns with clueless bosses getting fired somewhere for all the fucking porn that is showing up in their replies?
I don't think so, because that's the weird thing that's happening, is that now there is the portion of Twitter that continues to function as it always has. So it's like, here are two
great job,
people.
Elon.
Here are five people arguing about Caitlin Clark and the women's Olympics team with nudes in bio interspersed, and everyone's just ignored. Like,
it's like the Lord's prayer.
We have developed nudes blindness. Like, this is
these are our Greek choruses.
And
furthermore, cooter.
Every middle school youth pastor is just saying, just bounce your eyes away from temptation. Should have just given us Twitter. At this point, it's like, oh, another one of those? Okay. It's like walking through a fucking forest. Like, it is very funny that
lost on the cooter plane.
So much of the everything app is like just functioning as normal, like the Pope posts and then 10,000 porn bots assemble.
That's right. The Pope posts on Twitter.
I mean, he's here. How bad could it be?
Like, imagine if you
the fucking Sacramento Kings post, and here comes their porn army.
Imagine if you went to Mass at St. Peter's, and the Pope's up there giving the homily, and meanwhile, every 2 minutes,
nudes in bio.
Yes, people are yelling nudes in bio.
That sounds great. I think that would increase attendance.
And the Pope
just
is ignoring it.
Except dildos.
And the Vatican is just like, just keep going. We're talking about the blood of the Lamb. Don't worry about it.
More like the Vatican.
Body of Christ, throw a dildo.
Body of somebody, yeah.
Jelly dick of Christ.
But again, there's no nudes. Not even at the...
No, there's no nudes.
No.
At porn church, there's no nudes.
There's only parts of nudes that you didn't ask for.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to go to the bio. Don't have to go to the bio at all. Just stay put. You don't have to click anything. It's right there.
I don't want it.
It's the laziest porn app ever. You just sit there and it collects. Like residue.
Oh, that's upsetting. We have fun here.
Yeah.
We have fun here, don't we?
And it's like the other thing is I think sports people are on X the Everything app even more than non-sports people are. Like you go on Blue Sky and you see like, why isn't everyone here? And it's like, well, because, you know, there's sports. It's over there. We're just sort of stuck there. And sports are for perverts now, I guess.
You know?
I mean, yeah, sure.
I can't. No, I don't have a single argument that I can muster against that.
Luca in bio. Now, listen, I think you could make a good business out of I respond to random people's Twitter anything with, oh, here is like Sean Kemp dunking on somebody 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Like
Kemp, here's Kemp in
like,
bio.
Yeah, if I was just like, here's remember some gifts.
Guys in bio.
You were like, God, this is annoying, but it's also pretty fun.
I'm going to get a blue check just to post like, look at this fucking Mookie Blaylock highlight. <That's right. laughs> Check this shit out.
Man. Yeah, that's.
I've even stopped. It worked, by the way, in some form because I've even stopped auto blocking blue checks. I'm just so tired.
Yeah, I block like 40,000 of them, and I was like, who gives a fuck?
It didn't help.
But Holly and I both got a really good Twitter ad the other day. Do you remember the one that I'm talking about?
Yes.
Like an actual ad?
Yes. It's for an event that has since passed at least where it was. I know it's moving around.
Not unlike its subjects.
It's called Repticon. Specifically, Holly and I, who don't live there, we're getting ads for Repticon. I want to get
in
this
Greenville,
right.
South Carolina.
That's right. It was the one in Greenville,
which is Clemson, basically. If you're not from here,
so Repticon is what it sounds like.
Repticon is exactly what it sounds like. And is come. This is not an ad, but. Because it's the only useful Twitter thing I've seen in years at this point. If you live in a major American city that is not in the Atlantic corridor or a lot, Big Ten country doesn't do well, I'll be honest. But if you live in a major American city, almost anywhere else, Repticon is probably coming to you. Like Repticon is not going to Pennsylvania, New York, or Ohio at all.
Repticon is outside in Pennsylvania.
This looks very SEC.
This is a compliment, Pennsylvania. You have a shit ton of snakes, and I like that about you.
Shreveport, Baton Rouge.
There's a little Big 12.
There's a lot of Big 12 just because of Texas.
So you're saying that you're saying that you see a market inefficiency that we can exploit.
Big 10 yes. Repticon.
Big 10.
Shut down full snakes. The 25 snakes festival.
I do think probably the Dakotas are being shortchanged. I think there's probably a market for at least one Dakota Repticon.
Do you think if you live in the Dakotas though, don't you think that like commercial reptile festivals are for amateurs?
I think Triple H's vampire name should have been Dakota Repticon.
Maybe that's his long lost daughter.
That might have been Parker Posey's vampire name. Again, Parker Posey is also in Blade
3. Damn, this shit is loaded.
What an amazing. Maybe Holly's right and it is a great movie. Maybe I'm wrong.
I didn't say it's a great movie. I said it's the best Blade movie.
You said it was one of the best comic book movies.
That's, again, choose that and decide for yourself
so
what
means,
that scale means.
This means all happening. Blade movies are not great. Then.
Damn.
David Goyer was on a run there for a minute.
It's a complicated world. Anyway, yeah.
Repticon, I love the Shop Reptiles link.
Talk to me about prices.
You click on it, nothing happens.
What are we looking at here?
I'm just clicking and clicking and it keeps taking me back.
God, it's just like nudes in bio.
Yeah. Reptiles in bio.
Ridiculous.
Hey, I got it. Newts in bio. I think they're amphibians, right? I'm sorry.
No, that's great. That's now.
Cerber's
gonna know that.
Cerber, they got multiple days in June coming up in Charlotte, just so you know.
Okay, let's go.
Why are they spending extra time in Charlotte?
because they can.
I want to know.
Remember, shut the fuck up, barking dog. Remember we did that that episode about like snake facts, and North Carolina is like far and
yeah,
away.
Nice. Yeah.
Snake bite capital of everywhere but Australia. That's I guess true. That's yeah. why.
That's true. That's a really good point.
Not this necessarily the snake population capital, but the snake incident capital.
Yeah, the snake yeah. tempting capital of America.
I'm up here defying the odds every day.
You are. You're a fucking survivor, man, and we're proud of you.
A model in so many ways.
Where is Snake Repticon Charlotte? Something called the Cabarrus Arena and Event Center in Concord, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah. That's closer to, like, the racetrack.
Okay.
That's, like, Charlotte adjacent. It's, like, Charlotte suburb.
Yeah.
Like, it would be, like, if something was in Franklin, I think.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Yep. Great. So I'm glad Twitter's working for Repticon and literally nobody else at this point.
Oh, let's see. Let me look at their mentions. Oh yeah, nobody's replying at all. This is the dream. it's going great for them.
They're just buying. They're just attending.
Okay, we've all had to deal with this at one time or another. I'm sorry to go actual business for a second, but I'm genuinely curious if this is your line of work out there. Write in, let us know. How does one quantify a successful marketing campaign right now?
On Twitter specifically or just
anywhere,
more broadly?
Anywhere online. Like, how on earth do you measure feedback right now in this maelstrom?
We have at least one listener who can answer this question that I can think of, but I'm sure we have multiple.
Like, how, or like, what constitutes? What does success look like for you right now? And how on earth do you measure that? Like, this is not our business. You know, this is kind of our business.
Yeah. Sure.
I think.
Why don't you like us?
I measure it by Reddit threads. That seems to be our there are ombudsman. I think they're the only ones who ever.
Who saw that coming? By the way.
Until you drove them away with your divisive Deadpool.
I'm going to start my own subreddit where I think we go full cast of judge by like Chartbeat, right? And it's like, well, what's the website? No, I don't know.
That's comforting.
Yeah. It's clicks, folks.
Like a warm blanket that gives you anxiety.
That's why we post these takes, to get your clicks. Clicks people on what, you might add.
People still saying clickbait is adorable.
I love it when they say it to like reply to like a post with no link.
Yeah. That's why AI is going to solve it, because you won't click on anything.
Because there's nothing there. There's no fucking nudes. There's nothing. No nudes upon which to click.
There's another podcast business for you. Today on Channel 6, Spencer and I rolled out our takes congestion fee system, where basically if you want to offer up a take about Caitlin Clark right now, you have to give $100 to charity before you do it.
Okay, I have a question about this, because I think this is a great idea and a great post. But some of this is premised on this is the way in which we rein in bad actors, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do we think what is happening, maybe with Caitlin Clark and maybe just with like the way we talk about a lot of things these days, is kind of like poison and miserable? And I don't think that's any one person's fault or any one industry's fault. Is it because of bad actors or dumb actors? Like, I really can't tell, using Caitlin Clark as an example. Is this a case of people who are like, I have my own agenda and I'm trying to use this as a way to like wedge into it, or I'm stupid but I am on X the Everything app where everyone has to see me and find out about nudes and bio?
I think it's a combination of both, because one of the things that we wrote is that and we're using a metaphor at this point in which every topic is like a little town that gets overrun. So newcomers to the little town of Caitlin Clark, we wrote today, like people, whether through, I'm not sure that it's not a distinction without a difference, because whether through stupidity or ignorance or malice, newcomers to a topic now demand alignment of the place or the thing to their individual needs.
Okay, that's fair. Yes, that is true.
Like, they and their individual needs are as follows: to be right, to champion a cause, and to advocate for the person or team or thing beyond all rational limits and well past the actual interests or claims of the thing itself.
Right, like a three.
And in doing so, is what we're talking about. They change the rules of how one interacts with the thing.
A 3-year-old who demands ice cream at 7 a.m. is not malicious, but has the same effect as a malicious person who's demanding that McDonald's serve breakfast at 6 p.m.
Yeah, you can be 3 or you can be 40 and an asshole, and you can walk into somebody's house and be like, turn on channel 70, where is your cereal? And we're treating every...
The effect is the same. Yeah, that's
fair. I think probably the ultimate uphill arbiter of all of this is the we know too much about each other and have too much access to each other. I don't think there's any innate value in knowing. This is part of the great battle of having your audience. And I know we've talked about this with our split zone friends before. The notion of, does all feedback inherently have value?
Sure.
And it has volume, but I'm not sure it has value.
Well, a lot of it reminds me of being a teenager. When you're a teenager, especially when you're like in your later teens, I think it's very common to be like, I have big feelings about the world and things that are happening in it. Maybe it's politics. Maybe it's about like what's happening in your personal sphere. Maybe it's about art or music, whatever. And you also are old and you are mature enough to have a very high sense of your own intelligence, experience, maturity. And you do like... You do sort of think like, I have expertise that should be brought to bear here. Mm-hmm. And you can, I may just be projecting. This is maybe just how I was as a teen, and not everybody else is like that. So
my nemesis in debate was a girl who was just like that. She was real good at like 3 topics.
Yes.
And she could steer anything back to that topic.
Yes. It is a very, I mean, I also did speech and debate, and I am an asshole. And like, yes, this is, it is very much that.
What's
mentality.
Up, Ashley?
But wherever like, you are. I think. Hopefully, as you get older, you begin to learn that there are lots of things that you are not an expert about, and that you should have more questions than answers to, and that you should, it's good to, like, I think we've talked about this on the show before, that sometimes it's good to be wrong, because it helps you sort of, like, recontextualize what you thought you knew, and you get to learn new things, and, like, being right all the time is not necessarily all that valuable, but, like... Man, the Caitlin Clark is the best. Caitlin Clark stuff is the best example, but it's like so many people who are like, I am here and here is my treatise on I have the most thorough understanding on everything that has happened and that should be happening. And it's just really wild to see.
I'm glad you said that. I'm glad you framed it like that, because one of the other, the big, if I had to divide like the audience of screaming right now into like a pie chart, the biggest chunk of the pie right now would be people who have no interest in women's basketball or even basketball at all. They have interest in other things, and they just take every new, and the right wing is great at this, they just take, and also very funny at this, which we also get into in there, because without the right wing takosphere, we never would have had that one guy saying that the troops could put together a team and compete in the NFL, and we would have missed out on one of the funniest moments of all time on the internet. But the biggest chunk of the screaming audience right now are people who have zero interest in the actual topic and are just using the news of the day to wedge underneath whatever it is they want to prop up in the first place.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything. They don't give a shit about what she could be a golfer. She could be the world's, she could be the world's greatest attorney. Or something. She could be like, she could be an Olympic swimmer. She could be she could be an inventor or something. It doesn't matter what Caitlin Clark is. It has nothing to do with her almost at this point.
I think it's a thing where, excuse me. It's like anytime anything in sports has enough crossover with one of those culture war things, Tebow or Kelsey dating someone who is famous or, anything that they can wedge that type of shit into. We'll see stuff like this. So, like, yeah, in a lot of ways, it has nothing to do with sports at all. And I think the other thing is it has a lot to do with everyone just sucks at talking about sports anyway.
And especially a league they don't understand, because like the WNBA, like there are things that anyone who knows anything about women's ball could have prepared, you know, people for. Is like, it's a hard fucking league. There's not many teams. You know, it's very
you have no time between
low turnover. There's low pay and therefore low turnover.
You have no time between the end of the college basketball season and the start of the pro season.
Yeah, it's like a month from being, you know, from playing against future attorneys to playing against almost literally all NBA teams in like game two, right? That's not a thing that anyone really understands if they watch is the NBA, the NFL, whatever. So like that's a unique thing about that league. I mean, you combine those two things and holy shit.
I appreciated your repurposed Taylor Swift tweet, Jason, that it is possible to consume these things and be normal, because you would never know it from looking at it right now.
But we have, I guess that's maybe like the common factor here is like, there is nothing that's happening in the discussion of Caitlin Clark and the WNBA is different from the discussion that happens about the Star Wars sequels.
No, because it's not about her. This is just today. This is just what color it is today.
But it is a weird way in which, and I will say this, I think there is some element of sports media that is maybe to blame for this. Not in the way that, like, a thing that has happened to sports media over the last, let's say, 20 years, is that you got away, it used to be pretty rare to have people who talked about everything. Most of the time people had a beat. Maybe that was like specific to a team or a league, but like people developed a specialty and they didn't really go far outside of that. You always had national columnists and like national television and radio people who did, but they were like pretty limited.
You had college football podcasts that stuck to their top.
No, but you guys remember a time when we would be called in to our NFL colleagues' platforms to be like, okay, who are we getting?
Yes, right.
Around draft time.
Yes.
And we have to, you know, we have to explain Josh Doctson to you or whatever.
Right. And I think sort of like what went along with that, with being a member of the media at that point, was you could sort of like your output and your participation sort of matched the season you were following. So if you were a baseball writer and you got into December, you probably weren't writing anything at that point. You were probably just off. But now if you are a person on the internet who works in sports, like you're probably making something all the time. And so there is, I think, a very normal or maybe natural, I guess, inclination to sort of like follow the blood in the water almost. And I think you do get a lot of people who I will say this. I think when readers and listeners see that, like, well, this writer, television person, like Stephen A. Smith's a good example of this. I don't think Stephen A. Smith is a dumbass, but I think Stephen A. Smith feels completely comfortable having as big and as vocal an opinion as he wants to on any sport, regardless of if it's like the NBA, the man has covered for 30 years, has a ton of sources. Like, I get why he like it acts a certain way about certain NBA topics or whatever. But I do think there is something to like, well, the media doesn't necessarily show you yeah, there are like levels to this. So why should fans? Why should fans feel like that there is like, oh, I have more to learn here? It's like they trot out the same people all the time to write the to write the column or record the podcast or whatever. Like, I kind of get why people might sort of be in this fucked up brain space right now.
And there, Ron, you've heard this from me before in like a professional capacity, and I think you're one of the people who's good at this. And there's very few of them, but there are rare writers who, I'm trying to figure out how to phrase this, and I know I've phrased this to you before, Ryan, when you've come to me before like writing a piece and you don't have a conclusion.
Yeah.
And like you've come to me before when you've researched and written and you're like, I've gotten to the end of this and I still don't know what I think.
Yes, I love to puzzle through it and throw up my hands at the
right
end.
And you're one of those writers who, and this isn't true for everybody, but you're good at this, and Godfrey is good at this also. I would just like, if I had to like pick the top two out of our little cadre who are, I am like, whether or not you get a conclusion, you're so specific at elucidating your own thought process that it's interesting watching you wrestle with a problem.
Sure.
And you don't mind at the end saying, like, you know, I still don't know what I think about all this. And there are not a lot of people out in the, there are not a lot of people in our industry, I think, who are either or maybe both who are not good at articulating their own thought processes, or who don't have the capacity to be interesting about it. So it's not, you know, it's not good to read, or who don't have the security, who don't have the self-confidence to say, hey, I'm not sure about this.
Well, first of all, thank you. That's very nice of you to say.
Yeah. Yeah, because I say it just to make you feel better. It's not true at all. Yeah. This is a thing that people know about me, that I say things just to make you feel better.
No, I do appreciate
Jesus.
It. Yeah, it's just, well, here's the other thought I had thinking about this. Part of why I've been wrestling with this is that, so I have aforementioned 7-year-old who I just want to take to the airport and just let her like run around so she doesn't bother me all day, just for specific intervals when we have to go to Jamba Juice or whatever. But she is like starting to get into sports, and she's starting to get into Caitlin Clark. Like, she thinks Caitlin Clark is really interesting. She had a friend over the other day, and they were just slandering Michael Jordan at the expense by comparing her.
Oh, I love this.
Comparing him to Caitlin Clark in ways that I wasn't fully I didn't really understand what was happening, but I did think it was pretty funny.
No, but in a way, like, that's just as valid as anything else.
Sure. Sure.
I've seen adults make arguments that are way less, that are just as rooted purely in feelings, who won't admit it.
So what it led me to realize is that part of what can be fun or valuable about sports is sports can be a very safe place to have a big wrong opinion. Like, that's part of the fun of being a fan of a sports team, is being like, we're going to win 11 games this year. The numbers say that you're going to win 6, or like, this dude's going to win the Heisman. He threw 30 interceptions last. Like, what are you like? But there is sort of like,
but there's no, it's a safe landing spot. It's not like arguing about Netanyahu.
No. Right? And it's not like this cancer drug is,
although it feels sometimes as though it is. I shouldn't say this. It always feels as though it is.
And like, I think traditionally it has been a place where you can sort of like, yeah, you can be a dumbass about sports because
it doesn't matter.
Because it doesn't matter. But the dialogue, and in some ways this is good and bad, and I'm not going to say like we should go back to a time when we didn't have these subjects talked about. But like, once you start talking about race in sports and sexuality in sports and
labor
in, yes, once you start connecting them to all the other things in the world that do matter,
yeah,
which you have to do,
right? So if sometimes it feels like we have this disconnect where the part of your brain that's like, yeah, it's sports, you can just say some dumbass shit, is not aligning at all with, oh, but we're talking about the parts of sports that aren't a bunch of dumb. Like, you should be allowed to go online and say,
like,
Caitlin Clark
should have a national. You're saying we should have a national goblin mode.
Yes, and like, look, there are people I follow on Twitter who like want to talk shit about Caitlin Clark, but because they think she's a chucker who turns the ball over too much. And what, like, maybe let's say they're wrong. I'm not saying they're wrong. Yes, I see you, Holly.
I didn't say shit.
I know. But I'm not, like,
I don't have any opinions about her as a basketball player.
Let us say that opinion is wrong, and I'm not saying that it is. That is the kind of Caitlin Clark opinion that should be safe to have. Caitlin Clark sucks at basketball is the possible kind of big, maybe wrong opinion that should be up for debate. But it gets totally washed out by all this other shit. It's wild.
This is like when my lifelong hatred of Brittany Griner ran up against Brittany Griner going to Russian prison.
Right.
And I had to look back on, like, you know how many times I've said Brittany Griner should be in jail? Not like that!
Right. 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 Oh. Yeah. Yeah. It's probably Aaron Rodgers' fault at this point.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know. I don't know where I was going with any of that. So thank you for indulging me.
It's like if dog walking had some it randomly was in you know, mixed up in some giant societal thing that's requires actual knowledge to talk about. mm-hmm. or like the weather. Which mm-hmm. There's a really good example. If you talk about the weather, you think you're talking about something little and universally agreed upon. But you're not, because there's this whole other set of muscles and knowledge that you need in order to actually talk about the weather.
Yeah, yeah.
Weather. Have you guys ever run afoul of weather Twitter?
I am so afraid to ask what this is.
Oh, I haven't done it myself. I've seen one of the scariest people we know in media get run up on by weather Twitter because this person mistook heat lightning over a football stadium during a game for actual lightning. And I don't think that necessarily, especially if you're like from up north, I don't think necessarily that this is something you might carry with you as knowledge. James Spann, that famous meteorologist from Alabama, jumped on this. This is like years ago now, but I just remember this happening because I was like, this is right around the time of Horse Girl Twitter. And so they always go in a box with weather Twitter in my mind. James Spann, when this sports personality mistook heat lightning for something else and tweeted about it, told this person that they were being disrespectful to the victims of the Tuscaloosa tornadoes. Like, that was his lead.
Wow.
Damn. Just absolutely insane shit.
Maybe.
But anyway, I'm saying it lives everywhere. I'm saying this feels the way it does because it's happening to us.
Maybe nudes in bio aren't bots. They're just people who have figured out this is the only safe thing you can say on Twitter that won't get you yelled at by the weather.
That's a great point.
The weatherman. If I just say nudes in bio.
It's like it's the international online shibboleth.
Nobody fights me if I just say nudes in bio.
Yeah, they're the ones who got it all figured out.
I did recently learn as well from our friend Matt Berry that there is a conspiracy that the Challenger astronauts are still alive.
Somehow never heard that until he said that.
I have not heard, and I haven't investigated it either because I'm a little afraid to poison my search algorithm with Challenger astronauts alive?
I've just poisoned it.
Okay, thank you.
Nothing ever really dies.
Thank you. No, this is where it was because we went from, I remember how this got there. We went from Kyrie to flat earthers to, hey, let's solve the flat earthers after we figure out what to do with the people who think the Challenger astronauts are still alive.
But if I remember correctly, do you remember who was supposed to be on the Challenger? Big Bird.
What?
The plan for a long time. This I will look up because
I was four. I don't remember anything.
Oh, yeah.
About
I don't
this.
Remember this like from the okay. time, but like, yes, there's an article about.
Oh,
like,
God!
Yes, Big Bird was
like just the puppet or the actor and the puppet.
I assume I don't know. Because
this was an educational one. That's why Krista McAuliffe was on there. And
yeah, that's a good question. But yes.
Oh God!
Apparently, like the costume was too large, and so they couldn't put. Carol Spinney, who played Big Bird, talked about this in his documentary.
Holy fuck.
Yeah. Because the costume.
Why that disturbs me so much more than the actual death of the Challenger astronauts?
Sure.
But
it's, I mean, like, I think.
But like being a child and being like, Big Bird's in that rocket.
Yeah,
and
that would have.
Ah. Yeah.
But birds can fly. So Big Bird could have saved him.
Wait, is it canon per follow that bird that Big Bird can't fly?
I think in that moment of stress, I think that would have unlocked.
Certainly could have glided to a safe.
This is very much a superhero origin story. Big Bird, skill tree. Everything is counting on you learning right now how to use
to
your wings.
To fucking fly, yeah.
Good astronauts luck. From the Challenger alive reads the text above a video of a recent meeting of the Brevard County Commission in Florida. Brevard!
Oh my God, this is where my grandparents retired to. They're crazy. Yeah.
That we saw shared several times on Instagram. The video shows a man speaking during the meeting's public comment period. I think we all remember the Challenger explosion that took place in 1986 that
you think,
tragically sir? Took the lives of all seven astronauts on board. A couple decades later, this thing called the internet came out, and someone allegedly found almost all those astronauts alive and well, many using the exact same names.
Where? Okay, sorry, I'm not engaging.
Michael J. Smith, the pilot of the Challenger and astronaut, and also a professor at the University of Wisconsin. The man says.
Weird side note. One of my grandfather's oldest Army buddies. Represented his widow in the case against Challenger.
Whoa.
Sweet ass house, too, because he got a lot of money.
Okay.
for that.
It's very Michael Caine, Jaws 3 of him.
He lived in Winston-Salem.
So to be this clear,
man in Florida also notes.
Server's in on it. Everybody, just remember, there's Server's in on this.
I'm part of the conspiracy, baby.
The man also notes, Commander Dick Scobie, who is now president of Cows in Trees.
I'm sorry, did you say president of Cows and Trees?
I'm just reading PolitiFact.
Okay.
So the man then says, finds another one and says, it's statistically impossible to have three people with the same names, ages, and faces as their supposed doppelgangers. So this appears appears to be based on someone in the Florida government.
So somebody who showed up to public comment, somebody who just decided they got a microphone in there, and I got some things to
folks,
say
I've done some research. When was this meeting?
Did it even happen?
May 21st of this year. All right, it's rare you find a brand new conspiracy theory. This one's hot. All right, so Cows in Trees. What might that be? Is that where the nudes are? I googled it and I'm completely at a loss here.
Okay.
There's no cows in the trees, nor are there nudes in bio.
Maybe Spencer will find them in France.